Is from the ends of the heavens and its circuit to the end of them.
And there is nothing gained from its
with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Continue to send your messengers to preserve your people in true peace, that by the preaching of your word, your church may be kept free from all harm and danger. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Apostles' Tide is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 66th chapter. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass. And the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord. Bless our God, O peoples.
Bless the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has kept our soul among the living.
And has not let our feet slip.
Shout for joy to God, all the earth.
Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds.
So great is your power that your enemies come cringing.
All the earth worships you and sings praises to you.
They sing praises to your name.
Come and see what God has done.
He is awesome in his deeds for the children of man.
He turned the sea into dry land.
They passed through the river on foot.
There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations.
Let not the rebellious exalt themselves.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Bless our God, O peoples.
Let the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has kept our soul among the living.
And has not let our feet slip.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, the 6th chapter. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit
reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to the heavens? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, very God.
to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text from the Gospel reading, Luke chapter 10, verse 1. The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. This is our text. At the center of our Gospel reading today are these words: "The kingdom of God has come near to you." The kingdom of God has come near to you. As we hear those words, we may recall the way in which we pray every single Sunday in the Lord's Prayer. We pray, "Thy kingdom come." We pray for God's kingdom to come among us. We pray for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for God's kingdom to come and to grow and to produce a great and abundant harvest. But what kind of kingdom is it? Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Not of this world, not like the kingdoms that we see around us. We know what the kingdoms of this world are like. This is the July 4th weekend, after all, the birthday of our United States of America. So we might consider for a moment, what is this kingdom like? Central to this kingdom, the one in which we live in the world, is that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. If men were angels, no government would be needed, and if angels governed men, then they would rule us perfectly. But in this world, we have the rule of men by men, the rule of sinful people over other sinful people. And so our founders gave us a constitution, established the rule of law, provided for representative government, and established the separation of powers between the branches. That's the kingdom of this world. But the kingdom of Jesus is different. He is a true man, but he is a true man who is greater than the angels because he's also true God. His kingdom is founded not on a declaration of independence, but rather on a cross, above which it was written, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." The central document of his kingdom is not a constitution, but it is Holy Scripture. And in his kingdom, it is not so much the rule of human laws that is the order of the day, but rather it is God's grace and mercy that rule. This is the essence of his kingdom. He forgives the sins of repentant sinners. He gives life and salvation. He establishes his peace. And this is what we see taking place throughout our gospel reading today, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 20. We see the kingdom of God coming. We see God's gracious rule in the hearts and lives of people, his gracious rule both for this world and in the next. Think about what we heard, the blessings that are evident. When Jesus sends out his messengers and they enter into a house, the first thing they say is, "Peace be with you." And they bring peace from God into the homes of those who believe. And when the sick are brought to them, they heal the sick as a foretaste of the resurrection. And we heard as well how Jesus saw Satan fall from heaven. Satan and his forces are overthrown by the gospel that is proclaimed. And there is the greatest blessing of all, the one that lies ahead in the life of the world to come. But rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven. This is the kingdom of God, at work in the world and at work in the life of the world to come. The kingdom of God that comes near in Jesus Christ. We've seen this, of course, all throughout the Gospel of Luke, but especially in chapter 4, at the beginning of his ministry, we can think of the way in which that kingdom is being established. He establishes his kingdom through preaching. When he says, and in his first sermon at Nazareth, "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." His kingdom comes as he heals a man with an unclean spirit and drives away a high fever from Simon Peter's mother-in-law. The kingdom comes as crowds gather with their sick at the door of the house where Jesus is, and he lays his hands on them as the sun sets. Jesus sees the great need all around him, the need for his kingdom, the need for his rule, the need for his grace and mercy. And he has compassion on the lost. That recap of Luke chapter 4 always strikes me as if Jesus is constantly going from one place to another, from house to house, meeting those who are sick and diseased, and the demand never ends. This is what drives him. This is what compels him. This is what sends him forward, sends him all the way to the cross. He said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." Do you sense the urgency in what Jesus says and does? Do you hear that urgent and heartfelt desire that he has for all people to receive and enjoy his kingdom, for all people to live under his grace now and forever? The need is so great. It's 24/7 and everywhere. All you have to do is look around. Do you see it? Do you see the world as Jesus sees it? Do you see your own need that you have so deep? I know you do, because I see it as well, and because you've told it to me, that you see the world around us and the need they have for Christ, and you see the need that you have for him as well, because without Christ and his kingdom, we're all lost. And this need is why Jesus called disciples. First Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Then Levi, the tax collector, whom we know as Matthew. And then Jesus chooses those five plus seven others to be his apostles, his sent ones, because Jesus sees that the need is so great. And still, it isn't enough. It isn't enough for Jesus to go to each place visibly in the flesh. There are more places. There are more needs. There are more souls. More souls in danger of dying without Christ. And he wants the kingdom of God, his kingdom, to spread. He wants others. He wants all to enjoy his gracious rule and reign in their lives. So he sends more. And that's where we come to today's text. Jesus sends 72 others. We're not told their names. We're just told their number. 72 that he sends out ahead of himself into every town and place where he himself is about to go. Do you see what Jesus does as he looks out at the world? He arranges for a ministry to carry out his saving will. He arranges for people to go in his stead to places where the gospel needs to be heard, because this is what he sees. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Do you see how concerned our Lord is about the harvest? How large the harvest is and how few the workers are. And he's the Son of God. Yet when he sees how things are, he urges his disciples and he tells us to pray for more workers. When you see the great need, when it overwhelms you, when you would despair of souls being lost and of the great harvest yet to be gathered in, what are you to do? The first thing to do is to pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray that he would send workers into the harvest field. And then I'm struck by how Jesus begins to answer this prayer. He sends out these 72 others. Now think about it for a minute. We don't know the names of these 72. We don't know much about them. But we do know about the 12, the apostles. We know what they were like. And if their character is any indication, then these 72 are just ordinary men. Completely and totally ordinary people. And we could probably add this, a bit impetuous, probably proud, boastful, slow to understand, inconsiderate, lacking compassion, often zealous for the wrong things, and so on. Because that's what the 12 apostles are like, and surely the 72 are no better than they. And yet these are the ones Jesus sends. These are his representatives. I'll be honest, as pastor, I take comfort in this. Comfort that Jesus doesn't find those who are perfect or those who are great or those who do everything well, but he chooses ordinary, sinful men to be his representatives. And if we're honest, we can say, it sure doesn't look like the kingdom of God when Jesus sends these 72. I mean, on the one hand, when Jesus goes places, there are many miraculous things that happen. But when he sends 72 ordinary men, can that really be his kingdom coming? And if we're honest, it often still feels that way as well. Because the things that Jesus uses, the way that his kingdom comes, is so ordinary, so everyday. A fallen, sinful human being to proclaim your word, will that really work, Jesus? A little bit of bread and wine, will that work, Jesus? Simple words read from a book, will that work, Jesus? Water right from the tap, will that work? And Jesus says, yes, it will. My kingdom will come through these things, and my kingdom will and does come to you, he says. It comes through his agents. They go wherever he himself would come. And you see how closely Jesus links himself with the ones he sends. He identifies himself with what they do and with what they say. Whoever hears you, Jesus says, hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me, and so rejects my Father in heaven. This is how we are to receive those whom Jesus sends. Even in all of their human weakness and frailty, we are to receive them as sent by Jesus. And we are to receive the words they speak from Jesus as if Jesus himself is speaking. This is why when you hear the absolution, we say it like this. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. He who hears you hears me. It is Jesus speaking his forgiveness to you. And as we think about this text, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field, I'm reminded by the part that we play in the spread of God's kingdom in a couple of different ways. On the one hand, as a congregation, I am reminded how we have worked and supported the spread of God's kingdom as we have worked and supported the training of pastors. Very vivid in my mind right now, as we prepare on Saturday for Vicar Schneefloat's ordination and installation to serve in Troy, and later in July, his installation here to serve part-time among us. And also as we think of our Vicar Patrick Jackson this summer, who is being trained to enter into the harvest field and already has begun to do that work with us as well. Why does Jesus call and send these into the harvest field? Why is he so concerned about his kingdom being spread? It is because he wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is why it's so urgent for him. And this is why he's so urgent in his instructions. When he sends those 72, did you notice what he said? Don't get lost on the trivialities. Don't worry about a knapsack. Don't worry about sandals. Don't worry about a walking staff. Just go. Do not lose time on the small things. Don't bother shooting the breeze. If someone wants to sit and chat in the road, don't get hung up because you are bringing the kingdom of God. Jesus promises that he will provide for his messengers. He promises that he will protect his messengers because he wants the kingdom of God to come. And when they enter into a house, they are to bring his peace. They are to proclaim the peace that Jesus brings by his own suffering, death, and resurrection. And even when that word is rejected, they are to say, the kingdom of God has come near. So that those who have heard make no mistake that they have heard about the kingdom of God. Do we feel the same urgency? Or do we find other things to be more urgent and more important? What would we rather invest our time, our energy, and our finances in if not in the kingdom of God and the proclamation and spread of that kingdom? What would we rather talk about and discuss with others than the kingdom of God? The weather? Sports? Politics? We have the message of a kingdom that has no end. We have the message of a king who reigns and rules perfectly with grace and mercy for us and for others. And so, dear brothers and sisters, when I hear this text today, I am reminded of the urgent need for us to share the good news that we have and not to keep it to ourselves, to make known the kingdom of God to which we belong, to our friends and our neighbors and our families, whether they want to hear it or not. Yes, we are to do it winsomely, tactfully. Yes, we are to do it in ways that are wise and caring, but let us not use those as excuses to remain silent, because God would spread his kingdom through us. I think I've said it before as well. How many of you are here because someone else in the congregation invited and made known God's word to you or to your parents or to your grandparents? Because that is how the kingdom of God spreads. And it is our joy that God would accomplish the coming of his kingdom even through us. What an amazing thing that he would choose ordinary people like us to make known his saving message of Christ Jesus. And yet even greater than the fact that some hear what we say and believe is what Jesus said to those 72 when they returned. Rejoice in this, that your name is written in heaven. There is our great joy, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that our names are written in heaven, not because of any works that we have done, not because something we have accomplished or achieved, but rather because Christ has paid for our sins. He laid down his life for us. He is the Son of Peace who made peace by his own suffering and dying. And for Jesus, this was so urgent that he would not be distracted from it. Your salvation was so urgent that he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he even sent others into your life to make his word known to you. This is the King whom we serve, and this is the King who serves us, the one whose kingdom is not of this world, but whose kingdom comes still into this world, that our hearts and our minds and our lives may be ruled by him today and tomorrow and forever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice in this, that Jesus sends his messengers to bring his kingdom, that he sends his peace and his forgiveness to you today, and that he sends you also to make known that message to others, that their names also may be written in heaven with ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, now guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, I pray. I love you. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of the harvest, as your Son encouraged us, we pray that you would continue to send laborers into your vineyard, that the great harvest of souls may be gathered into the peace of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, you sent Jesus to preach your word, and he also sent the apostles and the 72. Grant us faithful pastors who receive your word with thanksgiving and deliver it without fear, even when wolves threaten to devour them. Lead them to trust that in you their labor is not in vain. Make Vicar Schneefloch strong to serve in the office of the holy ministry, and bless Kathy, his wife. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, your Son sent out his servants to proclaim peace to the homes that they entered and to declare the coming of your kingdom. Make our homes places in which your peace dwells, that husbands and wives love and honor one another. Children are nurtured in fear and faith toward you, and your kingdom comes among us. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, in this sin-sick world, nations engage in violence, injustice, and wrongdoing. Give peace, we pray, to all nations, especially to our United States, that all people may enjoy the goodness of your will being done on earth. Hear our prayers on behalf of all who make, administer, and judge our laws, and provide opportunities for your gospel to be proclaimed boldly without hindrance. Lord, in your mercy. God of all compassion, in your Son you have borne the burdens of all mankind. Look with mercy upon Ayla Eagle, Atlas and Eusen, John Gogan, Caitlin and Jeff, John Meyer Jr., Alicia Reinhardt, Nancy Roberts, Ted Roberts, Gwen Shope, Helene Schott, Michelle Studlian, Stan Thompson, Luann Trigo, Carol Wade, Sharon White, Raylene, our homebound Karen Hamill, Janet Lipke, Rick Silvestro, Andrea Wetmore, and all for whom we pray. According to your gracious will, restore these servants with strength and healing now, and grant them patience to await the resurrection on the last day. Comfort all who mourn, especially the family and friends of George Kengis, and Nancy Jane and Michael and her extended family, and keep safe all of them as they travel for funerals and to be with family. Lord, in your mercy. Generous Father, keep our hearts from greed, that we may joyfully support your church and those who serve us in your name. Keep us from pride of heart that delights more in what we do than in what you have done. Accept with our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving the tithes and offerings we bring this day. Lord, in your mercy. God of Israel, as your people of old drank and were satisfied by the comfort you showed to Jerusalem, may we likewise be satisfied to eat and drink of your Son's body and blood, given for our comfort today. Lord, in your mercy. How awesome are your deeds, O Lord. You have planted us and directed us to pray that you would send workers into your vineyard. You have answered that prayer through your Son and his church. As your kingdom draws nearer each day, teach us to boast only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing that our names are written in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us pray to the Lord our God.
He is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm 40. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise for our God. Many will see the fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. Then I said, "Behold, I have come to the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight in your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O God. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and of your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. But may I who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, "Great is the Lord." Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord.
Thank you. blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.